that we don't know who's going to be here today and who's going to be here tomorrow. You hear news every day that passes. So-and-so got killed yesterday. Last night, so-and-so had a heart attack and passed away. And it doesn't always have to be older people. There are many, many young people that are passing on, amen, to eternity every day that passes. The Lord today has laid a few thoughts on our hearts from the Word of God. We'd like to read from Proverbs, first of all, Proverbs chapter 1. Begin reading with verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now we'd like to go to Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 18. Amen. We have several different scriptures that we'd like to bring to your attention. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. I know that these scriptures are somewhat drawing a pitiful conclusion, perhaps a sad picture. But we're living in terrible times. We got people going to hell right under our noses. We got people going to hell right out of our own churches. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 33, we'd like to read verses 12, 13, and 14. And the people shall be as burnings of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off, what have I done? And ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? Amen. I'd like for us to reread these three verses. From out of these verses, we'll take our text tonight, and we'd like to preach as the Lord has laid some thoughts on our hearts. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear, ye that are far off, what have I done? And ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Amen. For our text tonight, we'd like to preach to you for a little while. Who will be next? Who will be next? Praise the Lord. Oh, Spirit of God. Amen. I feel the presence of the Lord. It's coming by here, this service. I don't know how long I'll preach, but I do feel like I have a message that somebody's heart will be stirred to pray tonight. Glory to God. Brother Archie, you ask God's blessings on his word. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. I know that preaching like we have been doing here of late, perhaps, amen, is not popular. Amen. But I told Brother Baldwin this afternoon, we was talking back here a while ago, it's a straight way. This is a straight way. And God's not going to let just anything and anybody slide through the pearly gates just because that we go to church. I hope the Lord will help me preach tonight. We are living in perilous times. We are living in religious times. We got more religious people now than we've ever had. Amen. So familiar to all of us are, amen, the newspaper accounts of this mass murder, suicide. Over 900 people's lives are taken. 900 souls plunged into eternity in a few moments. All at one time. Amen. Are y'all still here? I read this week in the Star Exponent newspaper. Amen. I believe that was the one. And it had an article. I beg your pardon. It was in the Washington Star. I read an article in there about the multiplied thousands of people who are called street people in the city of Washington, D.C., who have no place to sleep, no place to go, no place to eat, no place to call home. They sleep on the sidewalks in the dead of winter. And it showed a picture of four people as they were hovering over one of those louvers on a sidewalk. Amen. As heat was coming from an exhaust of one of the factories. Amen. And they were wrapped up in what little rags that they had, trying to keep warm from the cold snap that we just come through. Amen. The bodies were shivering. The paper said that the city is plagued with not only dozens nor hundreds, but thousands. Amen. That have no place to go and no place to eat and no place to sleep. I thought as I read that article, amen, that we don't realize how many souls there are about us that are going to hell. Nobody to tell them about the love of Christ. Nobody to tell them about, amen, a salvation through the cross and the blood of Jesus. And then as I thought about that, amen, I said to myself, amen, savage. There's multiplied dozens right around this community that are slipping into eternity every week. Amen. If you don't believe it, look in the obituary column of the newspaper locally. Amen. The morgues have got more business than what they can take care of. I trust that the Lord will help me preach tonight. To be lost is a fearful thing. Amen. To be lost physically in a forest. Amen. Not knowing which way to go to get out is a terrible thing. To be lost in a jungle of South America. Amen. Or Africa, where the wild cannibals and the beast. Amen. Lurk in the shadows ready to devour any prey that they can come upon. Not knowing which pathway to take to get out. Amen. Without any weapons to defend yourself. Lost in a far jungle. That would be a terrible thing. Whoa, just to be lost in a terrible forest or a jungle. To be lost in a desert. Amen. I'm feeling more like preaching now. To be lost in a desert without a canteen of water. Amen. Is a terrible thing. Oh, amen. Nobody knows the mental anguish of what it's like. Amen. To be caught out in the middle of a desert and to get turned around and lose your sense of direction, not knowing which way you come and not knowing which way you need to go. Amen. Are y'all still here? And not knowing how long that your supply of water, such as you do have, though it may be very meager, is going to supply you until you can find your way out of that desolate place. Just the fact of being lost, amen, is a frustrating feeling. Amen. I've been in large cities. Amen. Many years ago, as a young man, and get turned around driving in town and get lost. Amen. From the main artery or the highway and get found up on some back alley street. Not even know how you got there. Just driving, trying to get the way out. And the first thing you know, amen, you found yourself down on the wharf. Amen, Skid Row, the red light district, amen, where all the bad things in town happen. And you sit there and you wonder, should I turn right or should I keep straight ahead? Amen, or what should I do? Should I get out and leave the car and risk my life and somebody knocking you in the head for a nickel? Are y'all still here? The frustration of being lost itself is a terrible thing. Amen. But to be lost in eternity without God, amen, is worse than anything that we have ever encountered in this world. Any experience of being lost in a forest or a jungle or a desert or a wharf street, amen, anything natural in this world could not even be a drop in the bucket compared to being lost for eternity without God and without hope. Somebody say amen. To be separated from God. Amen. To be turned away from God. without any hope at all. God said in the Proverbs chapter 1, I poured out my counsel to you. Amen. You would none of my counsel. You would none of my reproof. Listen to me, young people. I want to preach tonight. You wouldn't give ear, amen, to anything that I had to say. He said, therefore I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. He said, you will call upon me, but I will not be there to hear. Oh, and then I read in Ezekiel where it said, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, amen, God said, yet I will not hear. Amen. Help me while I preach a while. I know a young man one time that had a son that was somewhat rebellious and hard-headed. He had beat the child, amen, and whipped him over and over again, and it seemed like that it would do no good. And finally one day he said to him, son, if you don't mind me and be good, tonight at midnight I'm going to put you outside the door. Amen. And I'm going to lock the door and not let you back in the house. Are y'all still here? Amen. So, amen, the boy was still disobedient, not thinking that his dad would really do it. Surely he thought his father had more mercy and love than that. So, amen, he would not do what his daddy had told him, nor mind. So at midnight that night, it was dark. Amen, and it was in the country. And nobody knows how dark it can get but country folks. Amen, where there are no street lights and lanterns. Amen. So at midnight and everything was dark and black. And amen, it was the night to which the moon was not shining. The stars was not giving any light. Oh, it was so dark. Amen. And the clock struck 12. Amen. The father led the boy to the door. Said, son, amen, if you'll just tell me you're sorry. Amen. I'll let you alone. Amen. But you got to tell me you're sorry. And the boy stubbornly said, no, I'm not sorry. So the dad, amen, opened the door, put the young child on the outside steps, shut the door behind him. And the little boy later said, it didn't bother him until he heard the key turn in the door. And he realized then that his daddy meant business. Oh, he said there was a fear that come upon him. He realized that as a child he was outside in the dark. Amen. And could not get in the house. The frustration, the mental anguish, amen, that followed was unbearing to him. He beat on the door. He cried, daddy, I'm sorry. Daddy, I won't do it again. And the daddy never unlocked the door for a while. He let the boy beat and cry, amen, and holler and scream. Amen, for about 30 minutes. And after a while, the dad opened the door. And the little boy had cried himself to sleep. Amen, on the doorstep. Amen, from the sorrow of being left on the outside. Oh, God, help me preach tonight. I fear that there are souls, amen, that are in our very fingertips. Amen, we have children in our Sunday schools. We have young people, amen, in our fingertips that are lost, that need to be saved. You don't know what it means to be saved. Amen. And let me tell you, it'll be a fearful thing to be on the outside on Judgment Day. Amen. Lost lost and separated from God. Somebody said, God is too just. God is too loving. God is too tender. God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Amen. Contrary to your feelings and to your thinking, if you refuse to accept the provisions of Calvary, there is no other place that God can send you but to torment in the regions of the lost. God said, I poured out my counsel to you. I tried to deal with your soul. I pled with your heart. Amen, but you wouldn't listen. You turned a deaf ear. Now he said, you may cry aloud. Amen. You may holler and scream with a loud voice, but I will not answer thee. Oh, Lord, help me now. You think it's a terrible thing to be left in the house by yourself after dark. Amen. You don't know what it's like to be lost in eternity without God. Somebody said, is hell real? Hell is as real as that bench that you're sitting on. Somebody said, Brother Savage, I don't like to be scared into praying. I don't like nobody to put fear in my heart. If that's what it would take to get you to pray, I wish I could put enough of fear in you. I wish I could scare you to the altar. If that's what it would take to get you to pray. Oh, there's one thing about it. Amen. Tonight, if I had the gall, amen, to get you by the hand and drag you literally to this altar, amen, and make you with force to pray, amen, you may not think much of me today, but on judgment day, amen, when you stand before God and you see the souls that are plunged into eternity and into hell lost, screaming and crying, you'd hug my neck and say, preacher, I'm glad you made me pray. I'm glad you scared me. Amen. And put the fear of God in my heart. The Bible said in Proverbs 27 and 20, hell and destruction are never, amen, are never filled. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. In Isaiah chapter 5, in verse 14, the Bible said, hell hath enlarged herself, amen, and opened her mouth without measure. Oh, God, help me preach a while. Psalms 9 and 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Do you believe that? Say amen. Someone asked me, he said, is hell real? How do I know hell is real? I will assure you tonight, there is enough of scripture, amen, in God's holy word to let you know that there is a literal burning hell. And anybody who says there is no hell, amen, is either a fool or a deliberate deceiver. One of the two.
And I'll tell you one thing. Amen. If you have the opportunity tonight to talk to Judas Iscariot. Amen. For 35 seconds. Amen. The first thing he would tell you. Amen. Young person, there is a hell. There is torment. There is anguish and sorrow. Amen. Oh, help me, Lord. Amen. If you tonight could talk to Sir Francis Newport. Amen. One of the world's most renowned atheists and agnostics that did not believe in hell and had many converts to atheism. Amen. He was a highly educated man. And he had many followers. And on his dying bed, amen, Sir Francis Newport looked at his colleagues that surrounded his bedside and said, "You men, don't tell me there is no hell, for I am in the clutches of a burning fire right now. I feel the flames of torment around me. I know there is a God, for I am standing in His angry presence, and I am lost. I am lost, colleagues, I am lost. There is a God, colleagues, and there is a hell, colleagues. I'm lost. I'm lost." Oh, Lord. I'd like to come to our text now. Amen. In Isaiah 33. "And the people shall be as the burnings of lime." There's some lime that does not burn. Amen. Brother Bowen told me tonight he's had some dealings with lime through the years. There are some limes that do not burn. Amen. But there is other lime, other types of lime, called what, a slack lime or something of that nature that has a boiling sensation. Amen. Are y'all still here? I understand that the molten lava that comes from the inner parts of a volcano, amen, is a great part of lime. That's a slack element, amen, that boils and works itself, amen, into a heated frenzy. Are y'all still with me? And bubbles here and yonder. I read a newspaper article some months ago about some island, amen, in the far Pacific. How that there a whole city was built at the base of an inactive volcano. Amen. And the volcano had not erupted for over 100 years. And they thought, well, amen, all was safe and secure. And nothing would ever bother them. And so they built us, amen, a nice sized large city at the base of the mountain where the volcano, amen, once had been. And just a few months ago, that volcano began to churn down on the inside. And it began to vulture. Amen. Are y'all still here? And it began to rumble. Oh, and they said that what survivors there were that were left, said, "We heard the internal roar, but we thought surely after 150 years of silence, there was no danger of it ever erupting again. Oh, but all of a sudden, in the midnight hour, when all was calm and sleep, amen, fire began to belch from the mouth of that volcano and go hundreds of feet in the air with gigantic embers. I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. And all of a sudden, from the edge of that volcano top, amen, the lava began to erupt. It worked itself in boiling sensation. amen, convulging, amen, like it's boiling water and it reaches a temperature and finally comes out of the pot or the vessel that is being boiled in. Are y'all still here? I'm preaching to you tonight. Amen. And as the lava began to slip over the lip, amen, of that gigantic mountain, down the mountainside it came under the darkness of the night. Well, all was asleep and nobody was aware of what was transpiring. Amen. With a gigantic, like a gigantic wave of molten lava. Amen. And working lime boiling, heated from the intensive fire. Amen. From the erupted volcano. Amen. It pushed the houses over. Amen. And the people died in Paris, cooked alive and burned. Oh, they said the stench that was left from burning flesh after it was all over was all that could be seen. Everything in its pathway was destroyed. I want to tell you tonight, that's a whole lot the way that hell is going to be lost in eternity without God in the flames of torment, bound for eternity. But yet there is no death. If death would only come, it would be a relief of the eternity. The Bible said, in the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever and ever. During the First World War, there was an English lieutenant who wrote an account of the Battle of the Dardanelles. This was during the Normandy invasion. The title of his article that he wrote was $1,000 for one drop. $1,000 for one drop. The Marines, amen, were upon the shore and could not reach their mothership before, amen, it was too dark and in safety. And being stranded on the invasion beachhead, it was not long until their supplies dwindled. Unprepared for the, amen, the situation that they found themselves in. The water was very scarce, amen, and it was not long until the biggest part of the water supply was devoured. And the canteens were dry, and there were very few that had enough of foresight, amen, despairingly go with their water in their canteens. Amen. And they tried to slack their thirst by drinking the seawater. Oh, but it was too salty, and they couldn't stand the brine. And finally, when that failed, amen, they tried sticking their tongues to the bare sand of the seashore, the beachhead itself, but it, amen, was too salty. The sand itself was saturated with the salt from the sea, and it was unbearable. Finally, some of them became so desperate that they took their shoes off of their feet and cut them up, amen, and eat the shoe leather, endeavoring to find a little bit of moisture to quench their thirst. The cry, amen, that went off all throughout the camp, "I'd give $1,000 for one drop of water. Does anybody have any water for sale?" water. Some became so desperate, amen, in their frustration for a drink, that they took their bayonet knives and slit their wrist and endeavored to drink their own blood from their veins. Amen. To slack the thirst. Water! Water! Has anybody got any water? I'd give $1,000 for one drop of water. Oh, brother, I want to tell you tonight. It was one of the queens of England. I forget which at this particular moment. When she came down to her desk door and realized that it was her last few moments, she said, my throne would I give, my crown would I give, all of my wardrobe would I give for 30 more minutes of life. Oh, brother. Amen. Not wanting to face what was on the other side of the doorway of death. Fearful, brother. Amen. I'd like to see somebody pray tonight. Some of the men in that Marine Corps, amen, went mad. Blew their brains out with their guns. Amen. Others called for water until they fainted. Amen. And this account of the English lieutenant said that the men's tongues swelled so because of lack of thirst, a lack of water rather, and thirsty, that they protruded out of their mouths like bananas, and they were swollen to such great intensity. Oh, God. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Brother Savage, will I know anything in eternity? I said, if you die lost, you'll know that you're lost. You'll know you're in hell. Amen. Are y'all still here? If you die without God and without ever making peace with the Lord, amen, you'll die and go to hell. Oh, somebody said, I'd get saved if mother and daddy would get saved. Let me tell you, young people, if mother and daddy never get saved, amen, you need to give your heart and soul to Christ and surrender all to Him and live for God, lest that you too be lost and die in your misery. The English lieutenant who wrote this article was not a Christian. And he said, when he heard the terrible groans and he saw the sight of those Marines sprawled across the beachhead, some of them dying and struggling in their own blood, amen, some of them dying of thirst, amen, oh, as they were stranded there, could not get back to mothership. No way, amen, it's a matter of record. It actually happened. Amen, if you please, war is a terrible thing. But hell is a worse thing than war. Amen. Oh, yes. This article, the gentleman who wrote it, amen, said, as I saw, amen, the Marines strode across the beach, and I heard the groans and the anguish and the screams of those that were, amen, in such pain. Amen. He said, oh, amen. If hell is worse than this, if hell is worse than this, good Lord, save me from hell. I want to tell you something tonight. Hell's worse than that. That is a very mild case in compared to what it's going to be like to be separated from God in eternity, lost in the regions of the damned. God said in Isaiah, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime, molten in that stuff. That lime that bubbles because of the mixture of the heat. Amen. And it moves itself about. So are the burnings of people that are lost without God. As the thorns, amen, cut up, shall they be burned in the fire. Oh, God. I think about the awfulness of eternity. I read in Mark chapter 9, verse 48, where Jesus said, amen, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. I read in Isaiah, amen, 66 and 24, and said, their worm shall not die, neither shall the fire, amen, be quenched. I read in Revelations 14 and 11, amen, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they had no rest day or night. I read in Matthew 10 and 28, amen, to fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And I say, oh God, give us a revival. Save our young people. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. In verse 14, he said, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites, as the hypocrites too made their way into eternity lost. I don't know what it is, but somehow or another people have just never connected. Amen. Hypocrites in hell. Somehow or another they got it in their mind that hypocrites are going to heaven. I guarantee you one thing. There's a big surprise awaiting for some people. Amen. On the eternal day of judgment, when God shall say to them on his left hand, bind them hand and foot and cast them in the outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Are y'all still with me tonight? Oh, amen, said this fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us, amen, shall dwell with devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Oh, I try to visualize in my mind what hell is going to be like. I try to think what it's going to be like to be in the torments of the legion, regions of the lost. Amen. As they cry and scream for mercy and cry for God to spare them. Amen. But the Bible said that God's turned a deaf ear and will not hear their voices. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Oh, the awfulness of just being lost is bad enough and separated from God. But the torments of hell are worse than anything that we have ever encountered in this world. Some years ago, and one of the families of the church was called in from the hospital, the Sims family. Amen. Sister Savage, you probably remember them. And many years ago, and said, would you come to the hospital? And so I got in the car and drove to Parkland Hospital. When I got there, I understood and found out that the little Sims boy in his early teens had been burned with fire. Amen. And he'd been mowing the grass in the backyard, and the lawnmower had run out of gas, and so he went and got a fresh can of gas and started to pouring it in to the hot lawnmower before it cooled off. Amen. And the whole can of gas ignited from the heat of that lawnmower motor. And when it did, the boy throwed the can. And when it did, the gasoline splashed all over him and caught him on fire. The neighbor said that he was a literal torch, running around in circles as fast as he could in the backyard. Oh, they said it was a terrible sight to see. And one of the neighbors across the street saw what had happened, and he reached up and grabbed the blanket off of the clothesline and ran across the road, amen, and chased the boy down, knocked him down, and wrapped him up in a blanket. Amen. They carried him to Parkland Hospital. Amen. When I got there, he was laying in the bed in the burn ward. Oh, didn't nobody have to tell me which room he was in. When I got on the floor, all I had to do was follow my nose and the smell and the stench of burnt human flesh. Amen. It was awful. It was terrible. If you've never smelled it, you don't know what it is to smell the stench of burnt flesh. I walked down the hall, and before I ever entered, amen, I heard from the doorway groans. You could tell that somebody was in great agony. Oh, somebody was suffering. Groans like I had never heard. Amen, come from a human lips up until that time. Oh, the groans that came from that boy. He laid there with a cage. Amen, over his body. He was burnt. Amen. Over 90% of his body was burnt down to the bone. The doctor said if he lives, it'll be a miracle. They said he cannot live under these conditions. Amen. You could just touch him anywhere or anything touch him, though no matter whether it be soft cotton or a sheet or whatever, just touch him and his flesh would fall off. Amen. Plumb to the bone. I stood there. What can you do? What can you say to a teenage boy, amen, that is suffering in such agony? I called him by his name. Right offhand, I've forgotten his first name. Amen. But I called him by his name. And I said, the only thing we got left to do is pray. And ask God, amen, to touch you. He shook his head. Amen. And I prayed. Oh, God. And there in that hospital room with the Sims boy lying in front of me, I said, God, if hell is any worse than this, help me to be able to reach some more souls for you. Amen. Somehow or another, give me a burning message. Amen. To rescue the lost. Amen. Somebody say amen. Oh, I got a boy tonight that needs prayer. I don't know what kind of spiritual condition he's in. I hope he's made a real start for God this week. Amen. But Brother Roy, don't care what he's done. Don't care how bad he's been. I don't want to see him lost. I don't want to see him go to hell. Amen. Somebody say amen. I'm feeling more like preaching. Young people, let me tell you something. You don't have to be a big bad sinner to be lost and die and go to hell. I got a boy in Bible school tonight in Pennsylvania. I pray God he makes it and he stays right with God. Amen. Oh, I don't want to see Randy lost. It's hard for me to picture my sons in hell. Amen. Lost and suffering in the torments of the regions of the damned, in burnings of lime, molten lava. Oh, like the waves of the sea being tossed. Amen. In torment. The rich man in hell in Luke chapter 16. Amen. He said, I am tormented in this flame. What else can you say about hell except that you don't want to go there? Amen. Oh, God. Sometime we live in fear. We allow the enemy sometime to project fear in our hearts that our children are not going to be saved. Are you still here? Sometimes some of our children do die lost. Sad, sad thing. Sometimes they do. On the other hand, sometimes mamas and daddies die lost. Sometimes grandparents die lost. Amen. I'd like to finish in 5 minutes and give an altar call. Sometimes folks live in constant fear. And every time the telephone rings, amen. Amen, the thought runs through their mind. Who is it now? Before they ever pick up the receiver, before they ever say hello, amen, the thought runs through their minds. I wonder if it's my boy. They've called to tell me that he's in a terrible accident. Amen, and he's dead. I'm preaching. Amen. Sometimes we wonder what, amen, is it going to be my husband? Amen, is it going to be mama? Is it daddy? Amen. I've seen some folks that were so tormented by fear of tragedy that every time they picked up the telephone, amen, before they'd say hello, before they'd say, find out who was on the other end of the line, amen, they'd say, what is it? Amen. And you could tell by the fear in their voice that they were expecting some terrible news to happen and to reach their ears. Oh, God, help me tonight. I'll tell you, saints, it would do some of saints good to be held over the torments of hell for 24 hours. Amen. And see the torments of the lost and what it's like to be lost. It would give us a greater burden. Amen. To pray for those that are without Christ. Somebody say amen. William Booth, that great firebrand for God that evangelized the world in the past century. Amen. And one multiplied thousands to God through the Salvation Army efforts in its early days. I can't say much for it now. But the great founder, William Booth, was a man with souls at heart. Amen. And he, amen, would take every one of his soldiers that were in the Salvation Army, and he would send them through a training program, amen, to witness for Christ and to win souls to the Lord. Multiplied thousands were won to God off of Skid Row, and bums and drunks were won to the Lord. But William Booth said, if it were possible, amen, and if it could be done, I would like to finalize the training of every soldier in the Salvation Army with 24 hours, amen, of piercing their eyes into the regions of the lost and hell. Oh, God. Are y'all still here? Amen. Oh, I wonder sometime. Amen. I wonder sometime if we are not too nonchalantly, amen, go on our ways, and we could sometime care less about anybody else that's saved. Amen. Are y'all still here? Amen. If we could realize that being lost from God in eternity is to be tormented forever and ever and ever. Somebody say amen. I feel tonight if our young people could see what it's like to be lost in hell, amen, they wouldn't be so quick to pick up a cigarette and smoke their first joint. Amen. If they could see what it's like to be lost, they'd not be so quick to put the first bottle of liquor, a beer to their lips and find themselves hooked. Amen. Preach on, Brother Savage. Are you still here? Say amen. I feel like that if people could feel, really see what it's like to be lost, amen, the young ladies would not be near so quick as to put on the pantsuits, amen, and go to school tomorrow morning. And may not be quick, so quick to see, amen, how quick they could get to the beauty shop and cut their hair off. Amen. The young boys would not be so quick to open their mouth and tell a dirty, smutty joke. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if you don't fear eternity, you'll never know how to love God. Amen. It is not enough to come to this altar and pray for 5 minutes when the altar call is given. Amen. You must surrender your soul and your heart and your life to God and be determined to live for the Lord. If nobody else serves God, make up your mind to go for God and live right. Amen. If mama don't go, go anyhow. If your wife don't go, go anyhow. Amen. If daddy don't go, live for God anyhow. It'll be worth it on judgment day. Amen. It'll be worth every effort that you put forth to escape the damnation of hell. Amen. Amen. Who will be next?
Somebody say.
How could I go to and get killed? Or how could I die? Two weeks ago, there was a family that left Arlington, Virginia, to the Skyland Drive just for an evening drive. A family of five. Amen. A family of five. Went to the Skyland Drive, enjoyed God's good nature. And coming down off of the mountain, a drunk man come around the curve going up the mountain. Run them off of the road. Amen. And all five of the family plunged into eternity. Whew. Five at one time. Somebody said, Brother Savage, could that happen to me? I'm telling you tonight that life is uncertain.